Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 16th chapter, reading verses 13 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. May God grant his richest blessing upon this, his holy word. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with the woes of the world upon us. Father, we ask you to please help us to clear that space out. Help us to set our cares aside for now so that we may listen to what you would have us hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever gone up on the top of a mountain or been close to the top of a mountain? Okay? The view stinks, doesn't it? Usually. What? Wrong. No. It's usually exquisite. If I may use that word, exquisite. Usually, if you're on top of a mountain, you're in a mountain range, and you see all these rolling mountains, green, maybe in the fall colors, and it's just exquisite. How many of you have ever watched the sunrise from the beach? Ollie and I, a long time ago, were we at Wildwood? I think we were at Wildwood. We decided, to get up early. She decided that we're going to get up early. And she dragged me out of bed. And when you're sitting there on the beach and it's cold, we're sitting on a blanket, I'm half awake. And then you see that little gold disc come up over the horizon, and it keeps coming, and everything starts to get lighter and better. It gets what? It gets sparkly. I like that idea. I like that. It gets sparkly. And at that moment, whether you're on the top of a mountain, you're watching the sunrise on the beach, or you're watching the sunset over a stone wall that has been there since bicentennial times, you just feel this sense of awe, of wonder. And in most cases, at least for me, I feel close to the Creator of all things. We call these things mountaintop moments, these awe-inspiring events that happen that just make you stop and say, wow. During our lifetimes, we have other types of mountaintop experiences where we're going along and all of a sudden something just hits us. We get out of our everyday stupor and we notice the beauty of a tree, the beauty of a flower bed. We are driving along thinking about something that we read in our Bibles, heard on a radio show or a podcast, or even something that we've heard in church. And all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off. And you suddenly have an understanding, or you have a deeper understanding of what it means. Our series for Lent, again, is Wandering Heart, Making Sense of Our Faith with Simon Peter. And we talked firstly about how Jesus sought us out specifically, how we are worthy. Then we talked about how Jesus rescues us. Today, we're looking at those mountaintop moments. Those moments of revelation, of our minds being opened up even further to what is around us, to what is in us, and who we take and we follow. Because that deeper understanding that we have, I truly believe, makes us better servants of God. Now, for a moment, I want you to imagine that you're one of the disciples with Jesus. You're outside of Caesarea Philippi, which is just north of Galilee. And you're sitting there. And the crowds, the people are been all wondering, who the heck is this Jesus? Who the heck is this Jesus? And Jesus asks you, who do the people say that I am? Probably we would all give the same answer. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Jesus hits you with something. Who do you say that I am? What would you say? I would probably be too dumbfounded even to want to answer that. I would probably come up with some sort of cliche little thing. But Peter, stupid Peter, impulsive Peter, Peter that is kind of trying to suck up a little bit to Jesus, comes out and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That little phrase. It's not that long. I don't know how many words it is, but it's not that long. It's shorter than a pastor's sermon, I'll tell you that much. But in that short sentence, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, is profound. It's a mountaintop moment for Peter. just as it is a mountaintop moment for us when we first come to Christ and realize that He is indeed the Son of the living God. It's so profound that Jesus said, "You know what, Simon? You're right. You're absolutely right." And upon this phrase, "You are the Christ, I am the Son of the living God," I am going to take and I'm going to build my church. And then he names him Peter. And I know a lot of you know what is the Greek for Peter? Petra, which means the rock. Upon this rock, upon this foundation, I shall build my church. You know, I think sometimes we try to overcomplicate things. We try to think that there is this long checklist of things that we need to do in order to follow Christ. I've got to give up smoking. I've got to give up overeating. I mean, I'm not worthy. The basis of our faith is you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything else flows from that. And because of that, because of our belief in Jesus and in the Christ, we can take and see the world differently. Where some may see a drab-looking house, other people will see, wow, that is from colonial times. It is over 300 years old. Other people will see the bums, the drug addicts, the destitute, the poor, and just say, oh, they're worthless. They don't mean anything. They got themselves into this. Not my problem. Where if Jesus was here, he would see them for what they are. For lost children. For people needing some compassion. Just like with the story of the lepers, you know, if you had leprosy, forget it. You weren't even allowed near the community. You weren't allowed to go to temple. You were scum to be avoided. But Jesus didn't. Because we have these mountaintop moments, because we are open to seeing these things and understanding these things, this is one of the wonderful, wonderful things about being a follower of Christ. I've talked many times about how we are the hands, the feet, the mouth, the ears, the nose of God here on earth. The mountaintop moments don't have to be big, heaven open, angels singing. Some of those mountaintop moments are the Holy Spirit tapping us on the shoulder, saying, You see that person? I want you to go talk to them. Just talk. If they have a need, see what you can do about it. It's scary. But we are called to that. These mountaintop moments also mean that we have things that we can share with other people. We can share our experiences with other people that are hurting, that think that they are the only person in the entire world that is suffering this particular malady. It's a very, very lonely feeling. And I know this because at one time I was that person. But now I can talk to other people, and I have talked to other people and said, you're not alone. You want to know how I handled this? I accepted it first off, and then I asked God for help, and I got it. So the mountaintop moments help us out in our spiritual lives by opening up the Word of God to us. The mountaintop moments help open us up to the glory of God, helps us be closer to God. And these mountaintop moments open up the opportunities for us to exercise our faith. And just remember, you're not going to immediately go out and start preaching on the street corners. You're going to start out small, I guarantee it, by looking for the moments in your life and taking advantage of them. When I've done that, I've actually had a mini mountain moment. Now, it makes me have a warm little sensation, not because I necessarily did it, but because I took advantage of this opportunity to share my faith, my life with people. So, praise the mount. Praise the mounts that we go up, whether they are big or small or in between, or sometimes just on flat earth. Because by these moments, we grow closer to God and are able then to take and exercise our faith to help others and to be God's witness and His servant here on earth. Amen.